justices in the ultimate court. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Yeah, the Supreme Court upheld a key part of Arizona's anti-illegal immigration law, otherwise known as SB 1070. It was a 5-3 decision that allows police officers to ask about immigration status when they're stopped for other things. That's just part of the law that never kicked in because of the court challenges immediately. Now it's going to be enforced, guarantee it, this week. Other parts of the law, though, like a provision that made it a state crime for illegals to seek work, is going to be blocked. The justices affirmed the feds, I guess, supremacy, if you want to call it that, over immigration policy. It's a good way to put it. In the opinion, Justice Kennedy wrote that the federal government's power to determine immigration policy is well settled. He also showed concern for what he described as Arizona's outsized burden in dealing with illegal immigration, seeming to sympathize with the state's problem on immigration enforcement. Here's a quote. He said, "Arizona bears many of the consequences of unlawful immigration. Hundreds of thousands of deportable aliens are apprehended in Arizona each year. But ultimately, the justices said, nope, Arizona cannot met out its own punishment for federal immigration crimes." Interesting. And the reaction to it was widespread. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer said that it was a victory for the state and is pretty confident that, beyond confident, that the officers who will ultimately stop people are prepared to carry out the law responsibly and lawfully, because a lot of Democrats on the Hill say this is racial profiling, and she says baloney to that. Remember, the Obama administration sued to block SB 1070 right after it kicked in 2 years ago because they say it got in the way of federal authority over immigration. The law made it a state crime for illegals to seek work or fail to carry proper immigration papers. So how about that? This one's handed down, and ultimately where does it end up? Five states, including Alabama, remember, followed Arizona's lead. They passed a bunch of similar laws last year. We'll see how this all comes down and how it affects immigration. Hey, coming up in this hour, we're going to talk to a constitutional expert, Horace Cooper. He's been on with us many, many times to discuss the part of the law of what he thinks works and what is not a good decision with what the Supreme Court decided, ultimately how it's going to all end up. And then the reaction, of course, of the Obama administration. Immediately, they pulled the trigger to weaken what Arizona can do by pulling back on a Homeland Security deal to deputize law enforcement people like the sheriff's deputies, et cetera, the cops, you know what I'm saying, in Arizona so that they could arrest people. They could deport people. They could grab them and say, okay, boom, here you go, you're violating law. Now they pull back on that. So picture this, if you will. This is how it happens. Somebody is going down the street. They got a busted taillight. They kind of do that skid through the stop sign. They get pulled over. They got no papers. They're here illegally. Boom. There's somebody that falls right into the trap of the law. But they got to wait for the feds to get there. Will ICE respond? Will they pull them in or say, nah, let them go? We're too busy. We're in another part of Phoenix right now. We got a major bust going down. We can't do this. And there's only so many ICE guys, feds to go around. We already know they're thin in numbers. That's part of the problem. Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who feels like he has a bullseye on his back, talked about what this now means when it comes to that key provision of his state's immigration law, saying that it won't change day-to-day enforcement.
It's to determine whether you're in this country illegally and when you have suspicion. I think that's important. We've been doing it anyway for 4 years, but I think it was a good ruling. I'm concerned. I believe the president's recent decision on the DREAM Act as a precursor to amnesty. It's going to be very interesting to see if ICE now picks up those that we determine are here illegally like they have in the past. I'm a big guy. I can take the heat. I have the Justice Department just went to court against me, federal court, last month. Another great timing, political year. Mm-hmm. But I have confidence in my deputy sheriff.
All right, good for Sheriff Joe. He doesn't back down at all. And you heard him say, is ICE going to handle it? Because it is in their hands. If you pull someone over, I explain that's what has to happen. They got to show up. They got to haul them in. And will they do it? I think their numbers are part of the problem. So I don't think that you're going to see an incredible uptick immediately. I think some people will be pulled in, but not everybody who's pulled over, because they're not going to be able to enforce that. There's no way. Hey, coming up on America Tonight, besides this conversation with Horace Cooper, of course, the other thing that's going to happen with the Supreme Court is health care. But what does it mean? What's already happening to people in premiums? What's going to happen if everything were to stay and kick in the way it is, like the individual health mandate, which isn't slated to happen until 2014? I think the Supreme Court will strike that down. Maybe the rest of it stays, but I think that provision won't. What about pre-existing conditions and all the other things? What does that mean? We're going to talk to Hadley Heath about that from Washington, as to what it is that people don't really realize has already happened as a result of Obamacare, and what could happen and what ultimately may be the Supreme's decision and how that's going to affect us. Regardless, and it doesn't matter if you claim you're Democrat or Republican or independent, you hate it all, whatever, this ruling affects you. So the judicial branch has a say now in what's happened 2 years ago and what's going to happen into the near future anyway, and where we're headed with health care. What's going to happen with small businesses? What's going to happen to people who are insured, people who aren't insured? Where is this headed? If the whole thing were shredded, it's going to be just like immigration. It's going to sit on a shelf because it's another hot potato, and the push might be on, but I don't think anything gets accomplished overnight. So this is going to be somewhat back to the drawing board. And Democrats have a definite idea on this. Republicans have a definite idea on this. And really, the two do not meet. They do not meld on what should happen here. You either want to see so-called everyone insured, which everybody won't be insured, but let's just say for the utopian factor, oh, okay, everybody's insured, versus how are we paying for it and what's going to happen to small businesses because they can't afford it. And then what happens to everybody else who has to go out and look for insurance? Again, that's happening at the tail end of the hour in a couple segments, actually. Hadley Heath, Horace Cooper, both in the wings. Coming up next, we're going to mix in a little odds and ends. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well. Free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
So you don't want to carry a gun, but you do want to ensure your personal safety. Then empower yourself legally with self-defense products from StunGunMikes.com. Stun guns come in more shapes than just what you see on TV. Now you can get a powerful mini stun gun that fits in the palm of your hand, a stun baton, or a cell phone or lipstick stun gun. StunGunMikes.com also carries real spy gear like bug and metal detectors and discreet car and home security cameras that hide in almost any type of everyday object, from alarm clocks to pens. Now you can see how your babysitter really treats your children. Go to StunGunMikes.com, spelled just like it sounds. StunGunMikes.com. Buy real spy gear from StunGunMikes.com, just like the exact same spy gear sold to the government, military, corporate security, law enforcement, and private detectives. Empower yourself with self-defense products now from StunGunMikes.com.
Hey everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Remember, you can throw in your 2 cents on the reaction to the Supreme Court ruling if you choose to. Step into the den, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-KATE. Boy, the people in Florida are being pelted by rain, in some parts up to 25 inches, they're saying. Slow-moving tropical storm Debbie, who can't make up her mind which way she's going, has really blown through, even in a slow march, and certainly has left a path of destruction in some cases in many of the counties around Florida. In fact, a big chunk of them, I think only 15 total were spared most of the heavy, heavy rain. I mean, we're talking sheets of rain. Very, very unusual for Florida. So parts of houses a little bit blown off because there were some crazy twisters involved in this. And it's really about the low-lying areas and the threat of floods that's so scary. When you start to see those pictures of people in canoes and whatnot, an area of Tampa Bay Shore where it's beautiful. It's kind of like the Beverly Hills of Tampa heading right into the city. Definitely over the barriers and people in canoes floating down the street and whatnot. So a lot of the people there just simply drenched. FEMA called in, and what that means is that they're looking for resources, struggling, looking for resources big time with the heavy rain and the flooding. The governor, in fact, decided it was time not to sit in the wings, and here's what Rick Scott said earlier in the day.
We declared a state of emergency so we can coordinate the use of all state resources to make sure that we can respond promptly if anything happens.
Yeah, and this is beach time. You see people hanging out at the beach, especially St. Pete's Beach on the Gulf Coast. A tornado ripped the roof off of a marina and an apartment complex, and fences fell down, trees were off, signs were off, and it was some nasty stuff. There is a bridge that I've been over a couple of times at St. George Island which is a big vacation spot in Florida. Power was out on the island, and businesses were worried about people coming in. And, of course, low-lying area, they fit the description without a doubt. And then Tampa, you know, Tampa and St. Pete, where they're linked, there were a couple of other bridges that were also shut down, the Howard Franklin Bridge. That's how you get to the airport there. And it's a very long, cool bridge, very close to the water. So naturally that one was closed for a time, too. It was too risky to have people going over it for fear of the water crashing and pulling some of those cars over if it got too crazy. So warnings that were issued with the tropical storm as it strengthens off the Gulf. At one point it looked like it might be headed toward Texas, but apparently that's changed, and it's a tropical storm and headed for all the Gulf Coast area, like the Mississippi-Alabama border, east to the Shawnee River in North Florida. And the winds, you know, 60 miles an hour or so. But the fact that it's going 5 to 6 miles an hour, it's really, she's really taking her time, so to speak, going up the belly of the state of Florida, and then where she comes out and how much strength after that. We have to wait and see. It looks like this will be a tropical storm and doesn't turn into a hurricane. We can only hope that's the case. It's a different story in Colorado and Utah. Boy, the people there would love to see rain. I don't know that they want 25 inches and tornadoes being spawned as a result, but wouldn't it be nice to see Colorado and Pikes Peak and some of those awesome areas to vacation to be done with the fire, especially so many firefighters are there trying to do whatever they can to douse this sucker, and they're having a heck of a time with it. Here's an update from Lieutenant Jeff Kramer on the evacuations.
We have mandatory evacuations in the Cedar Heights community of Colorado Springs. We have mandatory evacuations in a small portion of the Mountain Shadows community in Colorado Springs. We have mandatory evacuations in the Crystal Park community, which is in the unincorporated areas of El Paso County.
Yeah, and they had like 11,000 people in all that were moved out. Colorado Springs hit very, 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 very hard in this one. And it is about closing those ranks, getting the people out. And it's, I think when you, if you live in Colorado, you live in a foresty area, New Mexico falls into this, hey, California falls into this when they have the Santa Ana winds and dry conditions. You gotta have one of those escape bags. Because wouldn't it be easier just to grab the bag and run out, especially when you see what's happening not too far away? I think there is this thing in us where we don't want to believe that it's going to pile up in our neighborhood. That's in another neighborhood miles away, and then before you know it, poof, the heat is on and you're pressing to get out. I've seen that so many times. I've seen people get out, but boy, they are just waiting until the last second. All right, speaking of getting out, there isn't much you can do with an earthquake. Very sad what happened, remember, with the aftermath and the tsunami in Japan. So now it's been 15 months since Japan dealt with what was an incredible earthquake. Sadly, it was an incredible earthquake that triggered a tsunami, magnitude 9. And you had 1.5 million tons of debris that now is starting to wash up on U.S. beaches. Some of the things that people are seeing, they say they found a soccer ball in Alaska, a fishing boat in Washington State, a dock in Oregon. So cleaning up the beaches is usually, you have volunteer groups. You see them sometimes in the morning if you get up early and you jog or walk the beach or whatever. You see that everywhere. But this is the kind of stuff that they can't move. I mean, a large dock, a fishing boat, of course. How are they going to be able to move that? And then what are you doing, the disposal of that? In Oregon, who thought of this? You know, the Oregon Parks Department had to pay a contractor $84,000, to dismantle and get rid of this steel and concrete dock. And who knows what's going to keep coming ashore, because that's the state's beach cleaning budget for 2 years. That's normally what it would cost them. Washington State has set aside $100,000 for tsunami debris pickup, but they know it's not enough. They're concerned. What's going to happen? Where do you think the cleanup is going to go? To the federal government. But right now, the feds are saying, sorry, you're on your own, kids. Too bad you're located there. Isn't it great to go to the beach and see some of those incredible views? But you're going to have to handle what's happening there. Somebody with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, testified in front of a U.S. panel, a Senate panel, that a federal funding plan hasn't been made, and in most cases, the local governments are going to have to pay. And, of course, on the West Coast, they can't be happy about that. They don't want that. In fact, one of the senators, Begich, the Democrat out of Alaska, introed a bill that would kick in $45 million in federal cash for debris cleanup. It's like he says, hey, this is an emergency. What if there's a tornado, a hurricane, an earthquake? I mean, we're there to help everybody else. But here's the thing. It is slow moving, just like that wicked tropical storm Debbie. It's slow moving, widespread. There's no telling what could wash ashore. Remember that tsunami and watching everything either wash inland or out. And the total cost of this debris could top over $200 million. Could do that. The debris, they think, weighs as much as 4 Empire State Buildings, and it's going to happen continuously over the next 3 years. They believe, the storms are going to push this in. So the first really huge wave will happen in the fall when there's more rain and there's more winds, things that will push that debris toward the land. And that's when you'll really see that cost kick in. I mean, it brings up an interesting question. Is it, so sad, wrong time in history to need federal money? You're going to have to do it yourself. I mean, the senator has a point. Everybody else needs help for hurricanes or other things. They get the help. So is it their fault that a tsunami was triggered after an earthquake in Japan? No. Shouldn't we give them the dough? Stay with us. Some great guests in the wings.
The summer specials are on at HHA, Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big at herbalhealer.com. And new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, liquid CalMag vitamin D and organic iodine, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. Also get 10% off on the Herbal Healer Academy Survival Course, information that might save your life. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain, not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. PlantSkid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use PlantSkid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkyDD.com. Ask about our new bull repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. 1-800-351-1. PlantSkin. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed or your money back.
You've been lied to. Lied to by corrupt Washington politicians and the Wall Street propaganda machine. My name is Brett Kitchen, and I want to give you a free copy of my Inc. magazine best-selling book, Safe Money Millionaire, because more Americans than ever are worried about having enough money in retirement, frustrated with losses in their 401ks or mutual funds, and upset about skyrocketing government debt and being ravaged by taxes. The Wall Street casino has recently had all the previous gains of 2012 wiped out, and after losing 35% of my money when the market crashed several years ago, I said enough. Since then, I discovered an IRS-approved way to safely grow my money 12 to even 17%, cut taxes dramatically, but also have my money protected when the next crash comes. Call 888-885-8820 to get a free copy of my new book, Safe Money Millionaire, where I share this powerful tool that people like Walt Disney and JCPenney use to safely grow their wealth. Call 888-885-8820. Get your free book right now at 888-885-8820.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, Coast to Coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. It doesn't matter what nook or cranny you live in right now. Of course, healthcare front and center. We've been talking about it a long time, been to Washington 3 or 4 times, flushed this out in all kinds of directions, and now it is, for lack of a better way to describe it, D-Day coming up. Probably, as I said, my sources kept saying Thursday the 28th. We'll see, but regardless, it's going to come out this week, meaning the majority decision by the Supremes right before they bolt town, and it affects every single one of us. There's lots of misconceptions about this very complicated piece of legislation that was kicked into law a couple of years ago. So to flush some of those misconceptions out with us, things I bet you didn't know, is Hadley Heath, senior policy analyst and the lead on healthcare lawsuits, the Independent Women's Forum. Hadley, thanks for coming on ATN.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Okay, so there's still things that people don't understand about some of the key provisions that haven't even kicked in yet. Even the individual health mandate, people are very confused about that. But of everything that you've gone through and everything that you know and have highlighted, the specific things, what are some of the things that people don't understand? For example, I can throw one at you I know people don't understand. How many people actually would be covered by Obamacare as it stands now?
Well, the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, has estimated that about 32 million people will have insurance after the full implementation of the health law, Obamacare. So what this means is about 16 million more Americans will be added to the Medicaid program. So half the coverage gains are through a government-run insurance program for the poor, which is already a program that's in serious trouble in terms of its finances and in terms of the number of doctors who will actually see those patients. And then another 16 million people will be forced to buy health insurance that they aren't currently purchasing, whether it's a financial decision that they're making or just a calculation that they've made that they don't believe in health insurance, they don't want to buy health insurance. So those are the gains, but what a lot of people don't realize is that still means 23 million people will still be uninsured, even after full implementation of this law. So if you ask the average person, I'm afraid that too many people would say, after Obamacare, every single person in the United States is going to be insured, and that's not the case. And more importantly, the question really should be, what will the value of health insurance be in the future? You know, health insurance isn't what makes us better when we get sick. Actually, that's a visit with our doctor or health care, but not health insurance. So we should be more concerned about the future of health care and not over-regulating that through the health insurance industry. So that's part of the problem. I think that the coverage expansions, you're right, that is one of the things that's too commonly misunderstood.
Right, and who's paying for it? Because paying for this existing legislation the way it sits are the people who are uninsured that would be forced to get coverage, right?
Right. Well, there's going to be, you know, the direction of health insurance costs for the average American family has just been skyrocketing in recent years.
Yeah.
And we're not going to see any changes in terms of that, because so much of the problem in the health insurance system before Obamacare was that states actually would mandate coverage pieces. So in 8 or 9 states in the union, there are actually 50 or more treatments or services that people are mandated to buy coverage for, even if they know that they'll never use it. For example, if you're a teetotaler, in some states you're still required to buy health insurance coverage that covers alcohol rehabilitation treatment. So some of that stuff is just ridiculous, but the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare is actually going to push prices upward in a further increasing direction, because it's going to include many more mandates, and it's going to require states that currently don't have as many mandates to actually raise the mandated level of coverage. It's going to restrict the high deductible plans that some people have taken advantage of in order to have lower premiums. But essentially, it's mandating that people have more and more coverage. It's really sort of like a nanny state operation. The attitude behind it is that the American people, as individuals and families, don't know what kind of coverage they need to be buying, and so the government will tell them. And frankly, I find that a little bit offensive, because I'd like to make my own decisions about what coverage I buy and what things I'd rather pay, you know, with a copay for, or if I'm a young, healthy individual like I am, I would like to buy a sort of catastrophic plan, but that should be my prerogative, that should be my choice and not a choice made for me by the government.
Yeah, and what you're saying is essentially all that would go by the wayside because of the heavily mandate of this law, the heavy mandates that would force states to all comply, to regulate it so that it was uniform, but healthcare isn't uniform, is it?
No, it's not. You know, it's been interesting since the Affordable Care Act has been in place for a couple of years now. There have been some PR efforts, and that's basically what they are, is just for the sake of I think, political gimmickry. There have been some efforts in Washington to make statements like, oh, we're going to give states some flexibility over certain things. So, for example, the Department of Health and Human Services has said, we're going to let states decide what these, you know, minimum essential coverage requirements are. But what they aren't so public about is the fact that the federal government is basically setting a standard, and in a variety of areas of health care, they will require a basic minimum standard. So, for example, some states that are really into regulating, they can go above and beyond the federal standard, and that's the flexibility that they're talking about. There's really not a lot of flexibility for states who would like to do innovative things on the deregulatory side. Maine is one example of a state who has tried to do some deregulation in the past couple of years, and they've seen enormous decreases, actually, in health insurance costs. That's the direction we should be headed in, but a lot of that will be precluded by these federal standards because of Obamacare.
Yeah. What about, and this is key, because some younger people getting out of college, looking for jobs, that whole thing, which was heavily played up. What about the coverage for under 26-year-olds?
Right. Well, young people are really getting the short end of the stick when it comes to Obamacare. Yes, for some people there will be that option to return to their parents' plan as an adult. You don't even have to be a tax dependent. According to Obamacare, health insurers will be required to include you as a dependent for health insurance purposes. But that comes with a lot of additional costs and, you know, really unintended consequences for young people themselves. For example, some employers who offer health insurance, because the additional costs associated with these adult children, they will just decide to drop all types of dependent coverage. That's actually limiting the choices available to American families. And this is just one example of how over-regulating and over-mandating things, trying to get a desired result from people in the economy or in society will actually have a backfiring effect and encourage people to find ways to skirt those regulations and work around them. So that's one way, you know, you can't judge a law by its intentions but by its outcome. So what I said earlier about young people getting the short end of the stick is true, especially when it comes to healthcare costs. Because young people who are going to buy their own insurance, you know, there's still some people left who are able to graduate high school or graduate college and find gainful employment. They may be buying their own insurance, but they can expect their insurance costs to go up 19% to 30%, and that's actually an estimate that was made by one of Obamacare's chief engineers, Jonathan Gruber, who's an MIT economist. He very much supported Obamacare, but recently came back and said, you know, people who buy their own insurance can expect to see a 19 to 30% increase in their premiums. So that's going to impact a lot of young workers, and that's simply not fair. It's picking winners and losers, and it's trying to subsidize the health care of people who are older and sicker by maximizing the amount of premium payments that young people have.
Wow, 30%. I mean, even 19%. I mean, that's huge. You come out of school. What if you had student loans? Doesn't matter if you're a smart kid. Doesn't matter where you went to school. You're paying things off. How are you affording 30% and the 30%?
Well, you would almost have to, at that point, you would almost have to go back on your parents' plan. And so it's kind of encouraging dependency, not just on the government, but now dependency on your own mom and dad. And that's not really the direction that I believe most young people want to head. And I'm under 26, frankly, and I don't want to be on my parents' insurance. That's why I try to buy my own in the individual market, and it's going to be much more expensive in the future. So this is something very personal for me, but I understand, you know, one of the key strategies in the health law is to present people with what they believe is a new option. So a lot of people believe that, you know, being on their parents' insurance is simply a new option for them among an array of options. But what happens because of the fallout, because of the other parts of the law that are you know, mandating what coverage people have and getting rid of any annual or lifetime benefit limits for people, actually raising the cost, actually causing college plans to raise their premiums, or a lot of colleges will drop insurance plans altogether for their students. What it's actually doing is limiting the amount of options that people will have in terms of health insurance, and that's really where the trouble is. For every 1% increase in premiums and health insurance premiums, we price an additional 100,000 to 200,000 people out of the insurance market. So that's what we're dealing with today in terms of increased costs. In the future, of course, we won't really be pricing people out of the market because the government will be forcing them back into it, regardless of how expensive it is. So it's a very big decision we're waiting for at the Supreme Court on Thursday. They did announce that for sure the decision will come down at 10 a.m. on Thursday, and I'm very excited to see how the Supreme Court comes down on this.
Yeah, no kidding. It's always fun to do the crystal ball thing. And of course, I have a zillion contacts. I'm sure you have a zillion contacts. That doesn't matter. We're not inside the head of the Supremes. But what do you think will happen here? What's your best guess?
Well, you know, a New York Times poll showed that even 70% of independent voters would like to see the Supreme Court strike down the individual mandate, and a majority of independent voters would like to see the entire law gone. So if it's wishful thinking, I think most Americans would like for the Supreme Court to act and would like for them to maintain some limits on what's called the Commerce Clause, the clause in the Constitution that limits the government's power in terms of regulating different industries. So this is an example of where we have other precedents. You know, the Wickard-Filburn case is one where we've seen how government definitely has the authority to regulate markets. That's not what's up for grabs here. This is a new, unprecedented situation where the question really is, can government force us into a new market? And so I do think that the Supreme Court will probably strike down the individual mandate, but the real question, the real mystery, is how much of the rest of the law will go and how much will stay.
I agree. We're out of time. Hadley Heath, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
You may snicker when you hear this message, but you won't laugh after you experience the best-kept health secret ever, Camel Milk. Camel Milk is loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk. Camel Milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and Camel Milk is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, and 10 times higher in iron. And Camel Milk contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking Camel Milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel Milk is easily digested by those who are lactose and beta casein intolerant and comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under Products and Pricing for this spring special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com, CamelMilkForSale.com.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
When I hear about natural disasters and the danger of having no water, I'm not worried. Why? Because I have an Aquapod. Got it from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Aquapod Emergency Water Storage Kit comes with a pump and a huge 65-gallon bladder that easily fits in a standard bathtub, allowing a family of four a 14-day supply of safe, fresh water, and at a much lower cost than bottled water. Made in the USA with BPA-free material, the Aquapod keeps water fresh for up to 8 weeks. Just fill from your tub, then pump into jugs or bottles. The Aquapod is only $29.95, and when you buy two or more Aquapods at MyPatriotSupply.com, you'll qualify for free shipping. Plus, check out the Survival Seed Vault with 20 seed varieties, Tattler canning lids, the nation's only customizable long-term storable foods, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Get stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Big news out of the Supreme Court. Of course, we've been talking about it. And the National Center for Public Policy Research issued a statement right on the heels of reports that the White House is going to ignore the ruling by the Supreme Court in the Arizona immigration case upholding Section 2. And we all know what Section 2 is. And, of course, I've been talking about this, the fact that now in the Arizona effort, and this according to what the Supreme Court ruled, it will require police to conduct an immigration check on someone that they stop, that they pull over for some other violation if they suspect they're in the U.S. illegally. And that, of course, was upheld by all eight justices that were part of the decision, because Elena Kagan was not part of this. Remember, she abstained from being part of this because of her role in the Obama administration previously. So she was out of this from the get-go. But this is big. There's been reaction all over the place to the Supreme Court decision. We have Horace Cooper on with us, and of course, Horace, a friend of the show. We've been talking a lot of Constitution stuff with him. We've been talking about reaction to all kinds of things, and this is a big one. Of course, Horace is a legal commentator who taught constitutional law at George Mason University, and he knows all about this. He's an adjunct fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research. Horace, thanks so much, as always, for stopping by America Tonight. So I got here the long way, but your initial reaction to what the Supreme Court decided.
Two huge takeaways today. Number one is it was unanimous that the state of Arizona has the right to direct their police officers whenever they encounter people that they suspect are illegal residents or illegal immigrants to ascertain that fact. Huge that it's not racial profiling, it is not unconstitutional, it's not a violation of the 14th Amendment, and any subsequent challenges are going to have to be on a case-by-case basis. The media has misrepresented the statements being made by Justice Kennedy and the others in saying that there were further lawsuits that could occur. That's because in the enforcement of any law, you're always able to say, this shouldn't apply in my case, or this person didn't carry out the responsibilities properly. But huge takeaway that eight justices, eight, agreed that this did not in any way implicate racial profiling or discrimination. For the administration to have claimed, whether you're going to get ice cream or snow cones or other family outings, that this violated the freedom of Americans to be able to go merely because of their skin color. Let's turn to a couple of facts. The Arizona immigration law does not say if you look Hispanic, if you're from Ireland and you're overstaying your visa, if you're from Lebanon and you're overstaying your visa, if you're from any place in America and you entered the country illegally and you don't have the right to maintain your presence here, you are subject to the same outcome in Arizona. It does not single out people on the basis of race, and the Supreme Court upheld that provision unanimously. The second issue is we have a nearly unprecedented effort on the part of this administration in response. But let's remember, it was the administration who initiated this lawsuit. It is not Arizona who said we would like to have some clarification with regard to our law. It was the administration who put this forward, and now they are saying they will not accept the ruling of the court. This we call reprisal and retaliation approach on the part of Mr. Obama and the Justice Department is beyond reckless and lawless. This is threatening the whole notion of three-part government and federalism involving state powers and federal powers. When you challenge the state's authority and force the state to come into federal court to defend itself, and when that state does and prevails on a key point, you simply say you're going to ignore it and punish the state. That's nearly unprecedented.
Did you, great explanation. Did you like what Justice Antonin Scalia said when he talked about part of his dissent, that he was bashing Obama's move, that he accused Obama of selectively enforcing only the immigration laws that the president thinks is appropriate, and said the Constitution's framers would have rushed to the exits if they had known an executive branch would wield such power? What did you think of his comments?
Criticism. And here's the point. There are numerous parts of the Constitution that speak to the importance of the federal government's role in immigration enforcement. Remember, you can't be president of the United States without being a citizen. We have requirements throughout the Constitution and in every single state requiring you to be either a resident or to have resided in a period long enough as determined by law for the President of the United States or the Department of Justice to say that we can ignore that goes to the question of, are we a country that's based on a document that's written, that is listed, that provides rules and responsibilities to the various parts of government, or are we a people led simply by whatever imperious executive happens to hold office, and we don't get to do anything until election day to undo what they've done? Our framers never intended for us to have a king on term limits. We have a president, a Congress, and a Supreme Court, each with defined responsibilities. Frankly, I do believe that the so-called amnesty for 30 and under crowd is going to be challenged, and successfully so, because that simply is not within the president's defined authorities to be able to carry out this particular function of redefining the law and selectively enforcing the ones that he will and the ones that he won't. But today's action, I think, is going to elicit a lot more serious response than the president realizes. And that is that there are some five other states that have adopted similar policies to that of Arizona. And if reprisals are going to go against Arizona, they'll be asking their senators, their governors, and their House members to stand up and defend their rights to be able to have full-fledged participation in these task forces and to also be able to rely upon government, federal government assistance in carrying out administration immigration policy. It is unfair for Arizona to be singled out in this way, and I tell you, before the fall election cycle begins, you are going to see a number of senators, Republicans and Democrats, stand up and say that they are not going to allow this kind of mistreatment of the state of Arizona. Now, if all the president was doing was rhetoric, it's shameful. If he meant more than that, I think there are going to be consequences in terms of political response on the part of the other branches of government.
Do you think that we're going to see, and you mentioned the five states, which includes Alabama, but do you think this is going to open the door for other states to say, hey, look what Arizona's doing, we're having problems, maybe we're going to watch what happens as this unfolds for the state, because they never had a chance to kick it into action, although they had training set up for law enforcement to be able to know how to met this out. They never were able to kick it in because immediately it was challenged. Do you think we'll see, Horace, other states adopt this?
Yeah, well, that's precisely why the federal government acted so quickly to challenge Arizona. When you see a successful effort in the legislature passing, the governor signing measures, it looks like it's incumbent upon jurisdictions to take similar steps. Here's a stat that many people are not aware of. Immigration generally is in a slight decline. Most of that's attributed to the economic downturn of about 2%. But guess what? The multiple effects of several years of changes in the state of Arizona has led to an almost 35% reduction. If those people are not going to Arizona, that means they're going someplace else. And if you're sitting back and saying, oh, well, I don't know if I want to try this, wait until you start getting inundated the way Arizona was. For several years, that state was listed as the kidnap capital of North America.
Yeah.
It was incumbent upon that state legislature to respond. But I just want to repeat, it is nearly unprecedented. I am looking to see if I can find an example where the President of the United States punished a state after taking it to court and losing the case against them. I have yet to find one, and I've been looking all day today. This, to me, is the type of behavior that Nixon could only dream about in the imperial presidency that he was accused of.
I love it. Horace Cooper, thanks so much, as always, National Center for Public Policy Research, for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me here.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.